Turn with me to Genesis chapter 16. It looked off and on at the questions that Jesus asked. Then it has developed into the questions that God has asked in the Bible. Dealing with the questions from the answer, this is number 87. Notice what it says, begin reading in verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, but she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarah said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. In that day there was a custom that if there was a slave or a servant girl, that if it be so that the couple who owned or possessed that slave girl desired, the man could go into the slave girl, and the offspring that was the result of that relationship would become the child of that couple. And that's what's going on here. God never did put his stamp of approval on that, by the way. It grieved God. But it was a custom. And therefore, like so many times, and even in our day, the custom of the society or culture becomes the norm and the accepted thing. And Abram and Sarah fell into that trap, and that's what's going on here. Verse 3, And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. When Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. So when Sarai, the wife of Abraham and Sarah, of course, later would be named. When Sarah mistreated Hagar, Hagar determined and decided to flee. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence cometh thou, and whither wilt thou go? She said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. The angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for a multitude. I'll stop reading here. Notice in verse 8, really two-pronged question. Here's what God asked. By the way, this is the Lord speaking. Verse 9 says, it's the angel of the Lord. Verse 7 says, it's the angel of the Lord. But if you notice in verse 10, the angel of the Lord says, I will multiply thy seed. So there's no doubt this is Jesus. This is a pre-incarnate revealing and showing and sign of Jesus. Verse 13 said, The Lord spoke unto her. So there's no doubt who this is. This is God speaking. And the questions are, Whence comest thou, and whither shalt thou go? A two-pronged question. Where are you coming from, and where are you going to? Such searching questions. Where are you coming from, where are you going to? This world has not yet found out the answer to these questions. They say we have come from a toad frog or from a tadpole or from a monkey. I say, that's dumb. I got better sense than that. The Bible says we came from Adam. But the question is, where did you come from and where are you going? I say the Bible has the answer to both questions. I ask you this morning, do you realize where you came from? Do you recognize you came from a sinful person? You have a sin nature. I ask you also, do you know where you're going? Not just where you're going when the service ends, but do you know where you're going when life ends? Do you know where your eternity will be spent? It'll be spent in heaven or in hell. Do you know which one you'll go to? But the questions that God asked Hagar is this: where did you come from? Now, when he asked her these questions, she is no longer where Abram and Sarai has been. They were in Canaan when all the episode about the baby was involved, and when Sarai gave Hagar to Abram. And what the Bible says is she fled from the face of Hagar, from Sarai. So Hagar has left the land of Canaan and has traveled through the desert. And she has come to a place where there is a well, and she has stopped there to rest and get some refreshment before she continues her journey. And there in that place, away from Abram and away from Sarah, you see, she's trying to get away from that mistreatment. She's trying to get away from the situation. She's trying to get away from all that heartache and pain. And the interesting question that God asked her is, where did you come from? And her answer we find in these verses. Look in verse 4. It says that he went in unto Hagar and she conceived. In other words, I believe Hagar's answer to God's question when he said, where did you come from? I believe she said this: I've been wronged. I have been wronged. That's why I'm where I'm at. Back there in Canaan, Abraham, who I had only served faithfully, far as I know, and Sarai, who only I served faithfully, far as I know, they wronged me. They used me like an animal. They abused me. They took advantage of me, culture or not, accepted or not, a normal practice or not. They used me to get what they wanted. I have been wronged, and she would have said that rightly, for it was something wrong. And I want to tell you this morning, you may look in your past. I ask you this morning, where are you coming from? When you look in your past, can you find times where you feel like you've been mistreated or wronged? Or I say it like this, can you look back and say it just didn't happen how I wanted it to? Somebody abused me, took advantage of me. They didn't treat me right. All of us can find those things in our past. The question is, where did you come from? And I believe with all my heart she is saying, she is answering, I have been wronged in my past. But she didn't just say, I have been wronged. Look in verse 6, and it notice it says, Sarai dealt hardly with her. The bad thing about it is, Sarai came up with a plan for Abram to go in unto Hagar. And when he did that and she conceived, then Sarai got upset. And I understand that to a degree, because Sarai wanted the baby herself. She wanted to give forth the birth herself. But to this point, she hadn't had no children. So she came up with the bright plan of sending Abram into Hagar and conceiving that way, and the child would become theirs. And she thought, this is going to make me happy. But when she found out that Hagar was expecting, she was not happy. In fact, she was upset because, listen, Hagar's doing what I can't do. God has blessed her where he didn't bless me. So Sarai begins to mistreat Hagar. So when God says, where are you coming from? She would have said, and I think she did, she said, I have been wronged, but I have been wounded. It wasn't just wrong, but it hurt me. I was more than a slave to them. I was more than just a piece of meat. I thought we had a close relationship. I thought we were friends. I thought we got along pretty good. But now they have mistreated me, and it has hurt me. She dealt harshly with me. That word there literally is the same word that the Bible uses for the affliction that God's people suffered while they were in Egypt. How Pharaoh afflicted the people of God is the same word we find here of how Sarai harshly dealt with Hagar. She was right. She had been wronged and she had been wounded. But listen, that's not the end of the story. Now she's away from Canaan and she's running away from the problem and she's heading to Egypt, and God right in the middle of the whole thing stops her and says, where are you coming from? But listen, where are you going? He asked her, where are you coming from? And I believe she said, I have been wronged and I have been wounded, but listen to me. If you read these verses, you'll find that she didn't just get wronged, but she wronged herself. Notice it says in verse 8, he says, whither are you going? And she's talking about how she mistreated and was despised. Her mistress was despised in the eyes of Sarah. You know what he's saying? You know what God's saying? He's saying, Hagar, you did get wronged, and you were wounded. Listen, you did wrong too. Hagar would have to admit the answer to the question, where are you from? Where did you come from? She would say, I have been wronged, and I have been wounded, but listen, I have been wrong. When Sarah found out I was expecting, she did mistreat me, but also I didn't treat her right. Because when I found out, here's what happened. When Hagar found out she was expecting, she started throwing it into the face of Sarah. And in essence, she's saying, Sarah can't have a baby, but I can. I can do what Sarah can't do. She's the wife, but she can't fulfill the fulfillment and the responsibility of a wife and mother. So Hagar is throwing it into the face of Sarai, her master's wife. So she's been doing some wrong herself. My point is this. We look in the past and see how we have been wronged and we have been wounded, and that's probably so. But if we look in the past, we almost also have to say, I have wronged too. I have done wrong. I'm not innocent of this thing. I have done wrong. He says, where have you come from? But he also says, where are you going? Hagar, it's clear you've run from Abram. You've run from Sarah. You've run from Canaan. And you're on the way somewhere. But where are you going? Where are you heading? And the obvious answer to that question was this. She is headed to Egypt. From Canaan to Egypt, in between was this well. And Hagar was an Egyptian woman. Abram got her from Egypt, probably. And now, since trouble has come, she is doing her best to run back home. Now, that doesn't sound too bad to us. That seems like an obvious decision. If you're having trouble in Canaan, go back home. But there's a problem with that. And that is that Egypt is full of idolatry. And Egypt is full of the world. And Egypt is a wicked place. And she's heading back, listen, into the world trying to escape her problems. Are you getting the message now? She's heading back into the world trying to get away from her problems. And it ain't gonna work. And that's why God confronts her along the way. Before she got there, before she made the worst decision of her life, before she had to suffer the consequences, God stopped her and said, "Where are you coming from? But where are you going to?" And Hagar had to wake up to the fact of where she was heading and what was ahead. What she was going to. We make decisions every day. And if we're not careful, the problems of our past will make us make wrong decisions for the future. And God says this morning, where are you coming from, but where are you going to? See, what we're missing of those two questions is this. Where are you at right now? Where are you at right now? We live in the now. We live in the present. Most of what we're talking about, and that's why I'm standing here, was dealing with Hagar while she was beside a whale out in the middle of the desert. And she's heading somewhere, but she's heading the wrong way. If she thinks it's bad now, if she thinks it was bad then, wait until she gets to where she's heading. It's going to get worse. And God says, I'm going to stop you now if you'll let me, because you're heading the wrong way. How do you handle your problems? How do you handle your difficulties? When things don't go your way, my way, what do we do? That's what this message is talking about. Hey, I believe God is saying to Hagar, you better quit running. Did you hear what the verse said? She fled. She herself said, I'm fleeing. I'm running. It was so bad. Listen. It was so bad, I wanted to get away. I wanted to get out of my problems. Much of our lives is us wanting to get away from our problems. Out of the difficulty. We're wanting things easier than they are. We're wanting the easy way. We're wanting to get away from the problem, away from the difficulty, out of the situation. We're wanting to run, but a lot of times, just like Hagar, if we're not careful, we'll run the wrong place. And the decisions we make may end us in a worse situation than we ever dreamed of. Back there may have been bad, Hagar, but you keep going where you're going, it's going to get worse. God said, you better stop running. He says, not only you need to stop running, but you need to stop resisting. You look back and all you see is Abram and Sarai and the situation and the problem and the heartache and the hurt and the tears. But you're missing the fact that even though what they did was wrong, you're missing the fact that I allowed it for a reason. And you're not just fighting against them. You're not just running away from them. You're not just trying to get away from the problem. You're running away from what I've been trying to do in your life. I let you go through that for a reason, Hagar. And I wonder, how many times do we try to get out of our problem and away from the trouble and away from the heartache and away from that made us weep? without even realizing God put us there for a reason. God let that come for a purpose. God's trying to do something in us. God's trying to work in us. Did all this just slip through the eyes of God? Did it just accidentally happen and God didn't know what was going on with Hagar? Of course not. We'll see that in the end. God knew exactly what was going on, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. He says to Hagar, you need to quit running. You need to quit resisting. Little do you realize, you're not fighting against Abram. You're not fighting against Sarah. You're fighting against me. You're resisting the hand of God. You're resisting the work of God. And it's time to stop. He, in essence, says, I want you to quit running. I want you to quit resisting. And I want you to go back. Go back into that place of heartache. Go back into that place of hurt. Go back into that place of wrong. Quit fighting against it. Quit running. Quit resisting. And listen, quit relying. You've been relying on yourself, Hagar. That's why you ran away. I want to tell you, Hagar, there's somebody bigger than you that you can rely on. Hey, we heard it this morning already. God's grace is sufficient for whatever we have to face. He has more than enough grace for whatever you're going through. Our natural tendency is to run, to get away. And God said, stop running. Stop resisting, stop relying on yourself, and start trusting me. He told Hagar, go back, go back, go back. And he also said, submit yourself to Hagar. He said, go and tell her you are what you are, a slave. And you're not trusting her, and you're not trusting Abram, and you're not trusting yourself. Trust in me. Now, I'll be honest, I have no idea how this message applies to you. But I do know this, we all are having issues. We all are having troubles. We all have a heartache. We all have problems. And if we're not careful, we're trying to get out of them when God is trying to use them to help us. I tell you, there is a grace. There is a grace that is available. I believe that none of us have any idea what it's like. Daniel prayed when he knew praying would send him to the den of lions, but he prayed anyway. And when he went to the den of lions, God just put him to sleep. Daniel used the mane for a pillow. I'm telling you, there's a grace available that most of us, maybe none of us, have no idea anything about it. The three Hebrew young men, knowing they were going to the fiery furnace, said, we're going to trust God anyway. If we go, we'll go trust in Him. Peter stood when death was knocking and said, Lord, forgive them. I see Jesus. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient. Paul, when God said no, he said, thy will be done. If it's not your will to take my thorn away, I will live with it gladly. And he said, I count it all pleasure. I'm telling you, there's a grace available that most of us know nothing about. And what we're trying to do is get out of our problem, get away from the trouble, get away from the heartache, and at the same time, we're trying to get away from that grace that God's trying to give us in the midst of the problem. He said, will you quit running? Will you quit resisting? Will you quit relying on yourself? And will you go back, submit to them, and trust me? Let me give you grace you never dreamed of possible. Brother Chester mentioned two or three. Person in a nursing home. A man with a blind wife who had next to nothing. And yet they're rejoicing. They're smiling. They're happy. Hey, that's not of man. That's of God. That's God's grace that is available for every one of us. We need to quit trying to run away from our problems and say, God, I'll stay in the problem. I'll accept it as a gift, but I want to trust you for your grace. Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? What are you going to do right now? Your decision right now is important. Your decision right now makes a difference. Because Hagar, if you don't turn around, you're heading to trouble. You think it's bad now. You think it's bad back then. You go on the way you're going, it's going to get worse. You'll regret the day you ran if you get to Egypt. You'll regret the day you gave up if you get to Egypt, because Egypt's going to devour you. Egypt's going to eat up any spirituality you ever had. Egypt will eat you up and spit you out. I tell you what, when we make our own plans, we're heading the wrong way. Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? Hagar had been wronged, and it wasn't right. But God had allowed it. Did he not allow it? It happened for a reason. You notice verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. For she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. She came to a conclusion that God's been seeing me all the time. Back in verse 11 and 12, just to give you an example, notice what the Bible says. And the angel of the Lord, God's saying, you better quit relying on yourself. You think what happened to you was bad. Listen. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. God said to Hagar, Listen, you think it's bad now? You think it was bad with Abram and Sarah? I want to tell you something. It's about to get worse. Now, this is going to really encourage you. He said the child you're going to have is a wild man. It literally means wild donkey. And the Lord said, the child you're going to have is going to be against everybody, and everybody's going to be against him. And God said, you better quit running. You better quit resisting, and you better quit relying, because you're heading toward a place you're going to need me more than ever. And she did. I don't know what your future holds. I'm not trying to scare us. But I know this. If my future holds my best days, I still need God. I still need to rely on Him. Me trying to get away from my problems and run from my trouble is the dumbest thing I can do. I need to stay there and let God give me grace and let Him work out the problems. Let Him work out the trouble. Are you getting it at all? I hope you are. Because I'm exhausting an awful lot of strength to try to get you to understand it. Here's my point. Did you hear the last verse I read? Thou, God, seest me. God said to Hagar, and she finally got it. I hope we will. Lord, I see it now. I understand now, when I was there in Canaan, Abram and Sarai was abusing me. You saw it. You knew it was happening. And even in my frailty and in my weakness and in my ignorance when I ran, going the wrong way. You saw me. And you stopped me by that well, and you've turned me around. You saw me. I'll tell you something. God sees what you're going through. God knows what you're going through. And it's not just that he read the newspaper this morning and he's aware of it. That word there, thou seest me, means he was involved with it and he was able and capable of helping her through it. Some of you are going through some pretty tough spots right now. And the natural tendency is get out of it, get out of it. How can I stop it? How can I get away from it? And if you're not careful, you're going to run the wrong way, make the wrong decision, and make matters worse instead of better. The best thing you can do is trust God, and he may just take the problem away. He may just handle the situation. He may just make things better. And he may not. But either way, we need him. If you're lost this morning, you need him. If you've never been saved this morning, you need to be saved. You must be born again. It's what Jesus said. If you're saved this morning, you need him. You need his touch and his help and his power. Instead of running away from him, will you run to him? That's exactly what God says to Hagar. Quit running away and run to. Run to the one who can. Because you can't. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed, many of you will come.